5 of the Oxfordshire Teacher Training Podcast. I'm delighted to be sharing this afternoon's podcast with Jen Fiddeman, who is one of our programme leaders, and we're going to be looking today at the EEF Teaching and Learning Toolkit. So, welcome, Jen.
Thank you.
And what we're going to be starting off thinking about here is this thing, the EEF. So first of all, what do we mean by the EEF?
So the EEF is the Education Endowment Foundation, which is an independent charity and dedicated to breaking links between family income and educational achievement. So it was established in 2011 by the Sutton Trust in partnership with Impetus Trust, and they had a grant from the DfE as well of £125 million to get started.
Right. So those of you who've been keen listeners to the podcast since the very beginning, we looked at the Sutton Trust's What Makes Great Teaching that Robert Coe led on in our very first episode. So so we've got the EEF. It's been going for a little while now, and it's set up this thing called a toolkit. Tell us a little bit about that toolkit, if you will, and then we'll explore it in a bit more detail about how one might use it.
So the toolkit is designed to be the bridge between sort of educational research and what you might see as classroom practice in schools day to day. So it gives a summary of all of the educational research in different areas, and it kind of distills it into a practical and manageable write-up, which classroom teachers can then look at and see the impacts, the evidence, and how much something might cost to put in place. So it's useful for both teachers at classroom level, but also school leaders as well.
Fantastic, fantastic. So for people who've not come across it, it's an online source that people can go to for this, and it's constantly reviewed and updated.
Yeah, it's a live resource, so it's updated with a team of academics at Durham University. So when you're using the toolkit, you can be sure that you've got the most up-to-date and the high-quality evidence that you would want to be using.
Yeah. Now, this toolkit's been around now for, where are we now, best part of a decade now. And certainly back in 2018, I know that the EEF said that it was being used by over two-thirds of the schools in England. So it's quite likely that mentors and associate teachers and colleagues in schools will have heard of the toolkit, may well be using the toolkit, but maybe don't know exactly what you can use the toolkit for, and also just how powerful it can be. So let's have a little think about why this toolkit can be so valuable for teachers. Maybe we'll start to dig in a little bit more deeply about what you do with it.
Well, the toolkit had a really helpful graphic about the different strands that they'd looked at and the impact of each strand in relation to the sort of cost to action it. So it kind of gave a real obvious visual to things that teachers can be looking at that are quite sort of low cost to implement, but actually have a really high impact. And the top ones in here were things like metacognition and feedback. And you can then use the toolkit, you can go into these individual strands and have a look at actually what is it that we can be doing in classrooms day to day that will have that really high impact on attainment. And where you can go to get more information about it as well.
Brilliant, brilliant. So so for each of the strands that the toolkit looks at, so how effective is it? How secure is the evidence? We'll come back to that in a minute. That's the key part of this here. As you mentioned, the costs and also things that we should be considering. And we'll look at one or two of these there. So you mentioned metacognition. And we know that when we did a session recently for our associate teachers on metacognition, I know that this is one of the places that you went to when you were preparing that session. So perhaps tell us a little bit about the behind the scenes of what happens when you're preparing for these sessions, so that we will get a sense of what you do in order to make sure that what you're doing is reliable and authoritative, but also accessible for our associate teachers.
Well, as I said before, there was this graph by the toolkit which shows that the metacognition and self-regulation comes very, very high in terms of the impact. I think if I scroll down to the toolkit now, it's an impact of plus 7 months on attainment.
So that means that in a typical school year, you'd expect somebody who's using this effectively, that they can actually add on another 7 months on top of that school year as well. So
yeah, exactly,
really powerful stuff.
It's hugely powerful, and it's the sort of thing that if we can start having awareness of when our associate teachers are training with us, they can then take that with them, not only in their own practice, but also into the departments they're working in. And a lot of schools have metacognition as quite a strong focus more generally. So it's important that our associate teachers get some input from that from us as well to consolidate and support what they're doing in schools. So when we were preparing that session, we were looking at not just the toolkit strand, but also the guidance report, which gives a kind of a brief summary and also further detail about each of the recommendations that it makes. And alongside that, you've then got all of the references. So all of the things that the EEF has used in producing the summary, you can go back to that kind of original study or the original source and have a look at particular aspects of it as well.
And that's part of what you were doing when you were getting that session ready to run. And so you've mentioned there that these guidance reports, we'll mention it now. I suspect I'll probably mention it at the very end as well, as well as the toolkit, that one of the most powerful things that the EEF is producing at the moment are a series of guidance reports on a range of things. So if you're teaching in primary, particularly if you're teaching early years and Key Stage 1 maths, be very aware of a fantastic one that's just come out in January of this year. And I know, Jen, we were talking earlier about the fact that there's an SEN one on the way, and that will be coming out in
March.
So by the time this podcast goes live at the end of February, that will be one to look out for in the next couple of weeks after that. There are ones in science that I know is used by our secondary science specialist, Katie, over at Wheatley Park, as a key part of the training that we do for our scientists, and we could go on and on. So we talked a little bit about how, with the way in which you prepared for the session on metacognition, you were able to use the toolkit, and you were able to then dig in a little bit more deeply into that. The one at the moment that's coming out as being the single most positive impact is feedback. That has a plus 8 months on it, so it's metacognition and feedback, two of the absolute top ones there. And what we'll do alongside this particular podcast is we'll do a little summary of the whole toolkit, but we'll also give the example of what's in there for feedback so people can see what's going on there. But it's one of those things that's I feel the toolkit has done very effectively for people who want to get a quick fix to start with, and then they can look in more deeply. And so one of the things that we might want to look into a little bit more detail is this idea of, okay, so what does it look like on the page? So I've got the feedback section open in front of me at the moment, and I can see that, as well as telling me a little bit about it, it's then telling me how effective it is. And I won't read the whole thing out, but what's useful here is it says, you know, feedback studies tend to show very high effects on learning. However, it also has a high range of effects, and some studies show that feedback can have negative effects and make things worse. It's therefore important to understand the potential benefit and the potential limitations of feedback as a teaching and learning approach. And I really like this about the EEF. They're upfront and they're honest about what's going on. They're not going to be just telling us this is wonderful without also saying, but be aware, actually, if it's not used in the right way, it can kind of backfire on you.
They don't try and hide anything about the studies they're using. So there was one, I think it was on peer tutoring, which talked about the fact that some recent studies actually shown it really wasn't that effective in two of the English schools that they'd been looking at. And part of the reason for this is because they're looking at studies that are from around the world. So actually, if you're using a particular strategy or approach in a completely different setting, you know, you might be in a school in the US, or in the Far East anywhere, it could in fact look very, very different. And there's all sorts of factors around the kind of culture of education more widely, and the sort of family input, which means that something that worked really well in that setting might really not work for your school. And that's something that the EEF is very, very open about and says it's really important to look at your school context, and it's your knowledge about your teachers, about your students, about the parents, about the whole community that means that you'll be able to make a well-informed decision. So they don't try and make out like everything that they suggest is going to be the best for everyone.
Which kind of leads in very nicely into the idea that as well as telling us what really does work, they're also telling us what doesn't work. And if one's looking through at the moment of what we've got, so they've got two strands which are actually showing a negative impact. So repeating a year at the moment, that the studies are showing that actually that has a negative 4-month impact. So that's that extra year that you might be doing, the pupil doing that may only actually make 8 months of progress in that year. Rather than the full year. And also, interestingly, the work that they've done looking at setting and streaming, that it actually, you only get 11 out of your 12 months of progress, so that negative 1 month for setting and streaming. And that's fascinating, and it's certainly at some point in the future we'll come back to that with the podcast and look at setting and streaming. It's a session that we've run with our associate teachers earlier in the year, and it can be particularly interesting to look at as whether in fact setting or streaming does have a positive impact or not, because you know in most subjects it doesn't happen, but in the subjects where it does, we should be looking at the moment just to see, you know, are we doing the absolute best for all of the children that we're teaching by looking at that. And that's where the toolkit can be really, really helpful as we go through. So if I'm an earlier career teacher, so I'm a teacher, perhaps I'm an associate teacher who's training at the moment with Oxfordshire Teacher Training, or I'm an NQT, or I'm in my second or third year of teaching. Are there particular strands of the toolkit that you think, yeah, you should be having a look at that at this stage if you haven't looked at it already?
I think for the early career teachers, it's the strands whereby you can have that direct impact in your own classroom, so it's not relying on whole school policy or departmental policy. It's something that you can very easily do in real time in your own lessons. So things like, as we've already talked about, the feedback and the metacognition and self-regulation, there's a lot of evidence for it. They are high impact, and they're things that, as I say, you can very much get your teeth into kind of independently of anything else that might be going on.
Definitely. So really important things for people to think about. And also, if you're a mentor working with an associate teacher this year, or a mentor working with NQTs as well, making sure that people are aware of all of this information is really, really valuable. Which, in a way, leads on to probably my favourite part of the toolkit. I'm looking at things, I'm finding out that there's some, say, for example, reading comprehension strategies is another very positive impact showing from the research there. But they have a section which they call "What Should I Consider?" And we have these sessions of, you know, so what is it, how effective is it, how secure is the evidence, what are the costs of it, but then the what I should consider. And I feel this is really helpful, because it's posing a few questions and it's thinking about various things there. So let's have a little think about maybe one or two aspects of how that can be used by somebody who's early on in their teaching career.
I think the "What Should I Consider?" section is really helpful, because it can very quickly help you realise whether or not this is something that can work in your setting, or whether actually you're kind of already on the way to working with it and it's something you're developing further. Again, it comes back to that knowledge that you have of your own school context, you know your students, so you'll be able to kind of gauge whether or not any particular strategy is going to be effective in your particular situation.
A lot of the time, of course, with anything like this, there's going to be a sense of, well, yeah, this is common sense. But the key part about the teaching and learning toolkit is that common sense is also being backed up with some effective studies that have been done around the world, are being checked. Even within the feedback section, there's things about, you know, there's a pilot study where teachers are trying to apply the evidence and feedback through an action research approach. So they look at that, they're able to go back, and they're able to then say with confidence that what they're suggesting is right.
The EEF is also running studies which they are then writing up and is available. So there's kind of ongoing research in the areas that look like they're very, very promising to, again, further strengthen the evidence base for them.
Absolutely, yeah. And also, you know, as we've talked about their open and honest approach, they do change occasionally. They'll change, the evidence might change, so they might say, well, actually, over time now, we're seeing that this is perhaps hasn't had as big an impact. And so things will start to change a little bit here and there. And it's what I think will be interesting to do over time is for teachers to look at, okay, you know, is feedback is metacognition going to be the top two in terms of having the biggest impact? Or is that currently what people are thinking about, and therefore, you know, are we going to have other things coming our way in the future? So before we finish this particular episode of the podcast, I think it's worth just bearing in mind, because we haven't really talked about this on the podcast at all yet, about how all of this kind of research-driven approach is going to become even more explicit in terms of the way in which early career teaching is going, with the introduction next year of the ITT, the Initial Teacher Training Core Content Framework, which is kind of like an overall curriculum for how the teaching of potential teachers is going to be, which then leads into a document which is now already available, which will be coming out across some schools in September 2020, but in most schools September 2021, called the Early Career Framework. So this document then, that the Early Career Framework, so it's been around now for a few months for people to be aware of it, and we'll put a link in the show notes of how you can look at this. But that will cover the first 2 years of people's teaching, so your NQT and your NQT plus 1 year. So come next September, we're going to be having effectively 3 years of useful things there. And they've got fantastic reading lists and recommended things on there. And lo and behold, number one on the list is the EEF Teaching and Learning Toolkit. And within it, there's lots of the guidance reports as well. So we'll be hearing lots more about that over the coming episodes, and how that's going to impact what we're going to be doing here. But just before we finish for today, if we were just summing up briefly for our mentors, in particular about how you can be using the toolkit, what kind of things would we say to our mentors? We'd be saying things like, what do you feel would be our little kind of takeaway bullet points for our mentors to be thinking, yeah, let's talk about those.
I think if you've got certain target areas that you're looking at in terms of the teaching standards, then lots and lots of these strands obviously fit very neatly into those. So that gives you a starting point for discussion in meetings and for a focus for observations. Brilliant. When your associate teacher is sort of out and about in the department or in the wider school.
Yeah, fantastic. And certainly I also think that there's an opportunity for mentors to be thinking about beyond the target side of things, is, you know, the wider picture of what else is out there. What is it that you might be doing fine already, and how can you look at this in a bit more detail? So, Jen, thank you so much for spending a bit of time with us this afternoon talking about the EEF Teaching and Learning Toolkit, which is run by the Sutton Trust and the Education Endowment Foundation. And if you are one of the few people in the country who's yet to come across it, please have a look at it. It's fantastic. Thank you so much, Jen.